Welcome to the DC Daily Drop, your one-stop shop for today's important news in DC movies, TV, and comics. Here are your hosts, Tom and Zach.
Welcome to a Saturday, May 27th edition of the DC Daily Drop. I'm Tom.
And I'm Zach.
And we're going to be talking about the final episode of Supergirl this season, season 2, episode 22, and we are going to be spoiling it heavily. In this episode, Supergirl challenges Rhea to battle to save National City. Meanwhile, Superman returns. Get it? And Cat Grant offers Supergirl some sage advice.
That would be a cool name for a movie.
Would it?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't think they'd do something like that. What did you think of this episode, Zach?
I liked it. I actually thought it was a pretty good end to the season. I think maybe some other people didn't like this episode quite as much as I did, but I think they actually wrapped it up pretty well. There was a lot of pretty cool action battle stuff going on. It's probably one of the bigger sprawling battles we've seen in one of the CW shows, which is really cool to see. Yeah, I liked it.
Yeah, very action heavy. I thought the action was pretty good, all things considering, and that was handled pretty well. And we got to see a lot of familiar faces. There's some things I didn't really love, and some things I really didn't like, but it was mostly fun, I guess. I might not be as high on it as you. I think there was a lot of good things to take from here, but some other things that were not as good. So we jump right in with Rhea using, you know, we saw Superman show up at the end of the last episode, and we see Rhea has used Silver Kryptonite, and that is what she is doing to Superman and making him think she's fighting Zod.
Yeah, this was maybe one of the less good parts about this episode. No. I mean, it makes sense to do that. Not less good. It's just, it was really heavy-handed. Like, they had Supergirl, like, straight up beat up Superman in his prime, thinking he's fighting Zod. And then they, like, make sure that he says, like, 15 times, no, you beat me. No, you're stronger than me. No, you're really good. No, really, you're the best.
Yeah, that seemed really forced and really over the top. Like, oh no, you're way better than Superman. It's like, I'm in my prime. I think I'm fighting on Zod. So, like, yeah, that seemed really forced at Supergirl. Like, I like the character of Kara. I like Supergirl. I wouldn't say she's developed to the point where she, you know, I don't think she's got the training to say she could definitely destroy Superman in a fight. I get that they wanted to do it for something later on to set up, you know, the Champion of Earth battle. So that's why she was the champion, and I get it. It's her show. I don't, you know, I understand them, her defeating Superman. And I don't really have a problem with that. But like you said, them forcing it, saying, oh, you know, you're way better, you're the best. As a Superman fan and Supergirl fan, that seemed very forced.
Yeah. And I think there's a couple different ways they could have done it, where maybe he was kind of fighting at full force and got injured worse than she did, and so he couldn't fight. And so, I don't know. There's just a couple different ways they could have done it, but that's not that important.
Yeah. And one other thing that's upsetting, Superman thinks he's fighting Zod, and his first response is to tackle what he thinks is Zod to a building full of people. Okay. I know the movie version of Superman has gotten a lot of crap for destruction and everything. But if you watch, he tries multiple times with Zod and even with Doomsday to take them into outer space.
Right.
And it's those people, you know, Zod and Doomsday, that bring him back to Earth. So to see this one tackle Supergirl, I know what they're trying to make it a cool action scene, but to see that was kind of off-putting. But yeah, other than that, there's some cool action fights between the two of them, but kind of weird. But as a Supergirl fan, it was kind of cool. As a Superman fan, it's kind of like, huh? But yeah.
Yep. So, but that leads to them going to the fortress and finding out about the Daxamite, like, special death by combat thing, which I'm pretty sure every civilization has a death by combat rule. You just got to figure out what the name for it is.
Just ask them. Yeah. Especially, they probably have one. That's a good point. Yeah. So that's going on. And that was kind of a fun callback to Kara destroying Kilex. I kind of wanted Superman to be a little more upset about it, but he was pretty cool about it. That would have been funny. Like, oh, you know, you owe me a robot or something like that. But that was funny. And I like little connections like that. Those are fun.
Yep.
But then we also see Lena just randomly getting drunk at home or getting drunk at work. And I figured she could go home for that, but she's getting drunk at work and then sees Lillian there. And we get some more of their relationship.
Yeah, that is something that I was hoping that Cadmus would have a bigger role, and then it didn't really end up having anything to do with anything. It was more just Lillian by herself trying to be a good mom. And so that part was a little disappointing. But that being said, I am glad that they at least brought Lillian back in and had her involved in the storyline.
Yeah, my guess or my hope is that they have more to do with Cadmus going forward, and they're just sort of focusing on the Daxamite story for now and getting get back into Cadmus later. But that's just a guess. I don't know any insight on that. But one thing I got to say that bothered me, you know, we saw earlier in this year Kara training with Mon-El, and she never, you know, it wasn't even a challenge to her. Mm-hmm. So I was kind of thrown off by, you know, the death by combat thing. Like, why would Rhea be a threat if Mon-El was not a threat, you know?
Yeah.
As a Daxamite.
And I think we do get some explanation for that later where her blood has a bunch of kryptonite in it.
Sure.
But yeah, like you said, that is, I don't think I was thinking of that in the moment, but then afterwards when you told me about that, I was like, oh yeah, why is she so worried about that?
Right. Obviously we assume, you know, assumed Lillian, Rhea had something up her sleeve and wanted to fight more, you know, wouldn't have a fair fight, but. And I felt the stakes were there later when they actually did fight, but at the beginning, and there's like, oh no, you know, is she ready for this? You know, is she going to be able to handle it? I'm like, why? Like, that's not a threat. I didn't feel it anyway.
Maybe that might be one of the reasons I ended up liking the episode a little bit more, is because I don't think I didn't really think about that while I was watching it. So I think if I had had that same reaction, it might have made the stakes seem a little lower too.
Yeah, so that kind of deflated me early. I thought they came around and did have some stakes in the end, but at the beginning anyway, it didn't. I was just like, oh well. And you know, they used this weird Champion of Earth thing. I don't know, it sounded weird. Like Kara defeated, you know, I still, you know, a 14 year experience Superman would probably still be Earth's champion, but I get it. They have to, you know, they have to have Supergirl, but it seemed like the Elder Wand or something from Harry Potter where like, oh, well, Supergirl defeated Superman less, therefore she is the champion of Earth.
Yeah.
And it was just kind of a weird thing, but not enough to take me out of it or anything like that.
Yeah. In the last episode, we ended with John, well, we didn't end, but John was just kind of sleeping the whole time. He had, I don't know, took a nap or something.
A couple episodes, you know, he was whatever the Daxamites did to him, right?
Yeah.
And then McGann wakes him from his catnap, but she's not there.
She's not there yet. But yeah, she was maybe my least, I think we talked about this earlier in the season, she was the least interesting storyline they had going on earlier. And so when she came back and then later says that she's going to be around for a while, I was like, okay, well, maybe they'll make it more interesting now. But that being said, it was really cool to see all the white Martians fighting.
Yeah. As I like Miss Martian, and they probably could have handled their story better, but I like her, and I guess I'm more excited for the potential of her storyline going into next year than what they've delivered so far. But she didn't have a ton to do. I mean, she had an important little role there. And obviously her and Jean got a chance to kiss. But I'm more excited, but not a terribly important role, but I'm still excited for her to see more of her going forward.
Yeah.
But just what else? Let's see. We've got Cat Grant. Obviously, more Cat Grant in this episode. I thought she was toned down a little bit from the last episode, which was probably a good thing. Well, yeah. What'd you think of her in this?
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. Definitely toned down. Not quite as in your face or crazy. It seemed more like just the normal Cat Grant, normal amount that we would see her in an episode. But again, she's very inspirational to Kara, or Kara, as she likes to call her.
Kira. I can't even pronounce it right like that. But and then so we get this weird thing. The Luthers devise a box that can destroy, well, not destroy, but basically, you know, lead, whatever. It's lead enough to harm Daxamites, but not any humans, apparently. So that is used, you know, that's a threat they have for, I mean, you know, this basically this box that can just take care of all Daxamites, but that, of course, would include Mon-El. And so that's sort of hanging over as the last resort the entire episode. I'm surprised that they would even consider it, considering Lillian Luther had it in there. What would stop her from putting a little bit of kryptonite in there to go with right. the lead or something like that? But that definitely comes into play later.
Yeah, and you know, as soon as they bring that out, you know that it's going to happen.
Right. They wouldn't spend that much time on it without it potentially coming into play later.
Yeah.
That leads to Supergirl obviously wants to try to take down the Daxamites by herself, and leads to a fight with Rhea. Of course, Rhea double crosses her, and instead of leaving, she just unleashes all of her soldiers. And that leads to sort of this epic battle. You know, Supergirl and Rhea are fighting. There's the Daxamites fighting everywhere, which leads to Superman and Martian Manhunter and Miss Martian and the White Martians, who conveniently are good. She found some more good ones. What'd you think of this massive sort of battle?
Yeah, so I think this was my favorite part of the whole episode. Like I said, it's one of the bigger sprawling battles that we've seen on maybe any of the CW shows. A lot of times we kind of focus really close up with a couple people or just a bunch of people crammed into the same frame. But this really did, they did make it feel like it was happening all over the city and there's just crazy stuff going on. So I was pretty impressed with how they set it up and filmed all of this. And again, it's kind of weird to see Supergirl fighting Rhea, but when we find out that her blood is full of kryptonite, it makes a little more sense that it's not quite so even as we thought it would be, or even tipped in the scales towards Supergirl's favor as we thought it would be.
Right. That gave a believable reason for why Rhea could hold her own against Supergirl. But then, I don't know, there's this weird thing where supers can overcome kryptonite just by trying real hard. And it's not just Supergirl. This is in a lot of things. Like Superman Returns, where he just pushes the island full of kryptonite into outer space just by trying real hard. Kind of a weird thing, but it's not specific to Supergirl, so I can't really ding them for that.
Yeah, maybe Mon-El should have tried to get over his lead poisoning a little harder.
Yeah. But that happens. So the battle kind of ends, except for, you know, they realize that the Daxamites are not going to surrender. So Kara has to make the tough decision to unleash the, I don't know, let's call it a lead bomb.
Yeah.
Which causes, well, essentially, she just pretty much made the decision to kill everyone. I mean, almost all of the Daxamites. I mean, right?
Well, no, because they all get beamed up into their ship, except for Rhea, for some reason, who turns into lead and then disintegrates. I think she's the only one we see that actually dies.
Right. I guess that's a fair point. But
she didn't know that. She basically made the decision to kill a bunch of people.
Okay. And she definitely killed Rhea.
Yeah, for sure.
Which, okay, whatever you think. But, I mean, what's the lesson here? Last week, she was not okay with sacrificing Rhea to save everyone else. And then for why did she decide this week it is? I mean, was it the speech from Cat? Okay. Well, that's the real reason. But, like, Cat kind of talked her into it, I guess. Like, you got to do what's best. And then, that was surprising that she decided to do that, even though last week she seemed against doing that exact same thing.
Yeah, and it's true. They basically set up the exact same scenario twice in a row and just made two different choices. So maybe that's what they're going for, showing that the first choice was wrong, that she could have avoided all of this and had less damage and kept Mon-El if she had made this choice in the first place. But that is kind of what makes Superman, Supergirl unique, is that even to their own detriment, they will try to make the more moral choice sometimes, and it ends up biting them, and they have to make a worse moral choice to stop even worse things from happening. And so it's kind of the curse of being Superman, Supergirl.
Yeah, I guess so. And then that just leads to another point where, you know, Superman telling Supergirl she's better than him.
Yeah.
Because he couldn't have made that decision, you know, just to to have bookends there. You know, we need to know at the beginning that Supergirl's best, and at the end that Supergirl's best. And that's not me digging on Supergirl. I totally want her to be the star of this show. But you don't need to force it down her throat so that she's the best.
Yeah, that was the one part that tripped me up a lot too, was he compared the relationship to the relationship that he has with Lois. And I was like, she hasn't been with Mon-El that long. I know it's terrible. And like, they're saying that they really love each other and they're really close. And like, it's terrible that they have to leave. But I'm like, from my perspective, I don't feel that way about the relationship, just because, I mean, I've seen years and years of Clark with Lois. And so it feels different to me.
Yeah. I guess that's a fair point. Just stepping outside of the show,
right?
You know, we've got about 80 years of Lois and Clark.
Yeah.
We've got a few months here of Mon-El Kara. So it's kind of tough to compare the two. But I guess I can appreciate what they're going for. But that, of course, leads to Mon-El being forced to leave in the pod, and we don't know where he goes.
Yeah, and this is very reminiscent of the comic book storyline that happens to him a lot, or has happened a few times. And we talked about it, I think, when they very first revealed that it was Mon-El, the Daxamite, that he gets lead poisoning, and then a lot of times he has to go to the Phantom Zone and is stuck there, basically just waiting for somebody to find a cure to lead poisoning. And so this is something that I thought was going to happen for a long time, and it did happen. He got lead poisoning and he had to leave Earth. So,
and where he goes, no one knows. You know, I think some people have guessed maybe he's going to the future, to maybe somehow sent to the future with the Legion, or I know some people want him to show up on Legends of Tomorrow. I've seen that thrown around quite a bit. I think that's possible. It's a different Earth, but I think it's possible. I do like this portrayal of Mon-El, and I think he's been one of the more fun. He was one of the highlights for me of this season. Just he's been a really fun character and a lot of fun to see. He hasn't done a whole lot of superheroics yet.
Yeah.
So he still kind of has that journey to go. But I think just as an enjoyable character, he was a lot of fun to watch and had some of the best moments of the season.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, so I'm hoping we see more of him, but Mon-El's gone. The sad goodbye between Kara and him. I kind of feel bad for him. Whatever you think of their relationship,
I feel bad
for him. But McGann appears to be back for a while. We don't know how long.
Yeah, all the relationships are coming back together except for Kara's, and I think she talks about that a little bit later, because right after that we also see Alex proposed to Maggie, and so that relationship seems like it's probably going to keep going for a while.
It seems to be progressing.
Yep.
I do feel bad for Kara, but obviously she's the star of the show, so she can't be happy.
Yeah, right.
until at least season 4.
Yeah, for sure.
That's just how that goes. But I do feel bad for her. And one thing that was interesting was how at the end Lillian Luther was taking credit.
Yeah.
I'm liking Lillian Luther more. Like, that's one of the highlights of these last couple episodes. It's been Lillian Luther. I like the way she's been portrayed in the last couple episodes. And it's such a thing to do, to take credit for that and get back to power. However she's going to do it.
Yeah. And I think that really does set up, like you said, for next season of Cadmus being a bigger storyline, or circling back onto that storyline, which I hope they do, because it was one of the more interesting things going on this season for me.
So that's just one more of the revelations at the end there. We also figure out that Kat does really know Kara's Supergirl. Shocking.
I think we all knew that she knew that, but now we really do know that she knows.
Yeah, it's official. And then we end with the end stinger of 35 years ago on Krypton. She is not the last son and daughter. You know, Clark and Kara are not the last son and daughter of Krypton. There's apparently several who left. Which I'm cool with. I know a lot of people are, they're supposed to be the last son and daughter. But to have more Kryptonian things is pretty cool. So we get to see something being created and sent to Earth.
Yeah, and it's interesting that they end on the line that they just say the word rain, which maybe means this is rain.
Right. That's what it would make me think.
I don't think that's that far of a stretch, probably.
Yeah. Rain is a villain from a Supergirl villain from the comics, so that seems to be what they're setting up as a big bad for next year.
Yeah, and that's cool. I actually, that's a pretty intriguing idea, so I'm hoping that they do that, and we'll get to see that next season.
And we'll have, probably in the next couple of weeks, we're going to have a final review of the whole season of Supergirl. But what are your thoughts on this episode? Anything else you'd like to add?
No, I think there's definitely some problems, some issues in the Supergirl. But for me, it wasn't really any more than, maybe a little bit more than some of the normal issues that I have with some of the episodes. But I still think I really like this episode. It did wrap it up pretty well for me. And has set up things that I'm really interested in for the next season, especially Cadmus and perhaps Rain at some point.
Yeah, and I think this was still a fun episode, lots of cool action, and I think I might be being a little bit hard on it. There's just a few minor character things that rub me the wrong way, I think, that I remember too much. But overall, you know, looking at these last two episodes as a two-parter, it was a pretty cool thing.
Yeah.
All right, well, that is all we have for today. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back again tomorrow.
Thanks for listening, and make sure to check out DC Daily Drop on Twitter, Facebook, and DCDailyDrop.com. Drop by tomorrow for more DC news.